Psalms chapter 86, right in the middle of your Bible. Be reading two verses this evening. Responsively, I'll read the verse. You'll join me on the second. Psalms chapter 86, we'll be reading verse 11 and verse number 12. Book of Psalms, chapter 86, verse number 11. The Bible says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for what you've done for us today. Lord, we've been blessed beyond measure, and then this morning, Lord, the truths, the singing, Lord, the fellowship, Lord, lives being changed, Lord, souls being saved. Lord, our cups are so full, but tonight, Lord, may we pour them out, Lord, and be ready to receive another truth tonight that you have prepared for us. Please use our preacher as he preaches, Lord. Fill him with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches. Lord, may we listen with the intent, Lord, of taking the truth that's given, Lord, and apply it to our lives today. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I got to give credit to where credit's due. Recently, my wife was reading her Bible. That's not unusual. I defended her. But she showed me Psalm 86:11, and she just pointed out one little statement in it. And I'll be honest with you, it got a hold of me, and I turned it into a whole sermon. And it's not her sermon, it's mine, but she pointed out the verse, all right? So before you think she wrote my sermon, she didn't. I can't preach them that rough. But let me help you tonight. Psalm 86:11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth." Watch this. "Unite my heart to fear thy name." I want you to notice that statement. Unite my heart. Now listen to me. Keep your Bibles open. We'll use them in a moment here. We live in a world that literally wears its feelings and emotions on their sleeve. Not only do people live by their feelings and emotions, but we think we're entitled to give our opinion to everything that we think about, whether it matters or not. So our feelings and our opinions get posted on Facebook and social media and websites and this, that, and the other thing. And every product that you look at, everybody's got an opinion about it. I don't know about you, but I don't read anybody's opinion about it. You say, why? Because that's just what it is. Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. You pick which one you want. Let me give you an observation. The more digital we become, the more time people spend in the cyber world, the more people let emotions and opinions become important to them. Let me say that again. The more time we live with the digital world, the cyber world, the social media world, so to speak, the more we let emotions and opinions become important to us. Truth is not the issue then. Our opinion and our feelings are. In other words, how this makes me feel is more important than the truth. When we put our feelings on a screen for everybody to see, we feel empowered. But most people would not express those feelings face to face with somebody. I'm going to give you parents a gentle warning. Be careful of Facebook for your kids. Be careful of social media. They will not only say things that they wouldn't normally say, they will read things that you would not want them to read that other people are saying that they would not normally say. People want to be heard, even if it's just on a computer screen. We really think that our opinions and our feelings put on a website means something. Folks, can I tell you something? It doesn't mean anything. Cyberbullying. To me, makes me laugh. If you believe everything you read, you're in trouble. Yes. Some people actually think that friends are how many people are on your Facebook account. Anybody doing okay? So, preacher, how many friends do you have on your Facebook? Zero. I don't have Facebook. I don't have any of those. I'll keep my face in the book while you Facebook. I've got plenty of friends. And you say, well, how do you connect with people that you haven't seen in 30 years? If I haven't talked to them in 30 years, I don't need to talk to them now. I hate to disappoint you. If it hasn't been important enough to talk to them in 30 years, guess what? It's not important now. People stroke their own pride and ego because a couple hundred people call them friends on Facebook. Pardon my dating myself as far as technology goes, but we've turned ourselves into the George Jetson cartoon age. Where a screen is our friend and not a real human being. Now listen to me, the cyber world has now created a society where most people just have to express their feelings and their opinions. Because it's a digital platform, we think that it has the same power as television or radio or the news. You see, when you put yourself on a screen, you put your feelings on that screen, you've been conditioned to think it has the same power, it has the same influence as television, radio, or news. We now have changed the meaning of so many words that offended now means hurt feelings. Did you know that the word offended does not mean hurt feelings? Anybody doing okay? Now, listen, we think offended means I didn't get what I wanted, therefore I'm offended. Well, bless God, I lived an offended life most of my life then. And by the way, since when is it a crime if you get your feelings hurt? When did that become criminal? When did it become criminal that a child with hurt feelings is the most pathetic thing in the world? I thank God I had baseball coaches that understood boys are supposed to have hurt feelings. You're supposed to be in the bottom of the seventh inning, 3 balls, 2 strikes, bases loaded, you're 1 run down, and if you strike out, you lose the game for your team. Guess what? You strike out, you're going to cry. And what's he tell you to do? Suck it up. Go shake hands. It's just a game. Boy, thank God I had coaches like that. Now, listen to me. The heart in the Bible and the heart now literally means the seat of our emotions, the center of emotion. When you see the word heart and it's in reference to like here in Psalm 86, it's not talking about your ticker. All right? Now, often it does, but the heart often in Scripture means the seat of our emotions, our feelings. Now watch this. God tells us in Psalm 86 that we need to unite our heart, our feelings. Huh. What does that mean? Why would God tell us to do this? I want to take about 27 minutes and show you tonight exactly what God says here in Psalm 86. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Now, number one, God says we need to learn his ways. Notice what it says. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Everybody look at me for a second. Did you know if God says you need to learn my way, probably that means your way is different than his way? Isaiah chapter 55, verses number 7 through 9. Let me read them to you. You don't need to take time to turn there, but I've got it marked here so that I can get there quick. The Bible says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Huh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Guess what? Our ways aren't like God's. God said, first of all, you need to learn his ways. Can I tell you where he told us what his ways are? Right there. His ways are what is printed in the word of God. Now, this means that God's way is not the same as our way. Sin has complicated our ways. Sin has complicated our thoughts. Sin has complicated our actions. In other words, sin has complicated our emotions. Did you know that in Genesis chapter 3, when Satan tempted Eve, it affected emotions? He tempted her with our feelings. Oh, it's a tree to be desired. Look how beautiful it is. It's wonderful to taste. It'll make you like God. Did you notice one of the things that took place when man sinned? One of the parts of the curse was that people's emotions would be messed up. Genesis chapter 3. I showed this to someone today. Genesis chapter 3. Let me show you what God said. Verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy, what's the next word? Sorrow. Oh, sorrow is a what? Emotion, a feeling. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband. He shall rule over thee. Can I tell you something? It didn't say that you would have pain in childbirth. It said that you would have sorrow in thy conception. A woman's emotional instability. That's the nicest way I know how to say all of that. How it's all comprised. That's part of the curse of sin. Everybody doing okay? Don't get mad at me. I didn't write it. I just show you what God said. All right? By the way, when Adam and Eve sinned, they hid themselves in fear. They looked at God, said, Adam, where are you? He said, we're hiding because we're afraid. Fear is an emotion. And man's emotions got messed up because of sin. And we think with sinful emotions, that doesn't mean every emotion is sinful. But they're tainted by sin. They're not real. Let me show you. How many of you remember being afraid as a kid that something was under your bed or in your closet? You know, the boogeyman was going to get you. You know, there ain't no such thing as the boogeyman, all right? But you didn't know that. And your emotions, man, it was real to you. You woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning screaming because you thought he had a hold of you. Now, God can't think like a sinner does. Nor can a sinner think like God does. But he gave us his words on which we can think. And we can improve our thinking. In other words, we at our best are still sinners. Let me read another verse to you. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. But we are all as unclean as an unclean thing, and our righteousness are as filthy rags. We all do fade as the leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Notice it says our righteousness is filthy rags. Do you know that even the good that we do is tainted by sin? Let's face it, we're all sinners. We have saved sinners, we have lost sinners, but guess what? We're all sinners. The best of us are sinners. The worst of us are sinners. Somebody will every once in a while visit our church. They say, well, I've been to your church and I happen to know somebody at your church is a bad sinner. I said, yep, me. And you. If you're looking for a perfect church, guess what? You won't find it. I've told this story before. It's kind of like the guy that was marooned on the island all by himself. After about 4 years, they came and found him, and he had three buildings. One was his house. They said, well, what's the other building? He said, that's my church. They said, okay, what's the other building? He said, oh, that was my first church, but I got mad at the preacher and left. That's kind of the way it is, you know. You see, even the good that we do is tainted by sin. God gave us the written word of God to show us his ways. Did you know the closer you live to that book, the easier life gets? You know, the farther you get from that book, the harder life is. You go to any country that hates God and is filled with communism, and I'll show you poverty and I'll show you hard living. Why has God blessed America? Because for many centuries now, we've tried to live by the book. And the farther we get away from the book, the harder it's getting in America. Now listen to me. God gave us his words so that we could follow his way, because we couldn't find his way any other way as a sinner. We would try to do it ourselves. Boy, I've got to hurry here. We as sinners are not supposed to rewrite the Bible. These are his words. We don't need to rewrite them. Well, they're easier to understand. Guess what? If you've got the Holy Spirit of God inside you, you can understand it. God wrote it so we could understand it. We don't need to rewrite it. We just need to relive it. We don't need to question it. We just need to live it. So, number one, God says we're to learn his way. Number two, are you ready? Everybody look at me. I love you. This one may hurt. Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. So point number two is we're to walk in God's truth, not how we feel. God didn't say I'll walk in. You can walk in your feelings. He said you're to walk in truth. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse number 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John chapter 1, verses 14. John chapter 1, verse 17. Jesus and the word of God are the truth. Now listen to me. John chapter 8, verse 32 says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's salvation. Amen. When we take our unrighteousness, link it with the truth, we get saved. God wipes our sin away. It may be emotional. It may not be emotional. But I know this. You got born again. Right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 10 through 13 talk about the truth is the way of salvation. Now listen to me. God says, as sinful man, we turn the truth of God into a lie. Go to Romans chapter 1. Okay, this is where the rubber's going to meet the road and go splat. Time for roadkill. You ready? Look at verse number 22. Romans chapter 1, look at verse number 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Sounds like Congress. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Notice that. The lust of their own hearts, their emotions and their feelings. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Everybody look at me very carefully. That is in reference, if you keep reading in Romans chapter 1, that is in reference to the Sodomites of today. The alphabet soup people, the LGBTQ weirdo people of today. Folks, God made man and God made woman. Amen. Male and female. Right. It takes about that long to figure out which you are. Right. It's all based on one thing. Plumbing. Amen. Don't know how else to say it appropriately. You know, it didn't. You see, well, some people are just confused. Well, you can unconfuse them. Just give them the truth. Amen. That's right. I hate to disappoint you. It's not that confusing. You put 100 bulls in the pasture, they know which ones are bulls. You put one bull and 100 cows in that pasture, he knows which one's the cows. Right. Trust me. An animal has more sense than most people. Amen. Now listen to me very carefully. God says, who changed the truth of God into a lie. The rebellion of sodomy and the rebellion of the sexual perversion of our nation today has turned the truth of God into a lie. Here's what they'll tell you. Well, God wants us to love everybody. That means I can marry whoever I want. Oh, whoever you want. What happened to what God wanted? God didn't make Adam and Steve.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah. Don't get me off track here. They have changed the truth of God into a lie. I'm for those folks getting saved. I am not for being unkind to anybody, no matter who or what they are.
Amen.
Did you get that?
Right.
Get them the gospel. Get them saved. Maybe God will change their life. But may I say this, I will preach against that kind of lifestyle.
Amen.
It is ungodly, and they've changed the truth of God into a lie. It is not love. It is lust. It is perversion, and it is wicked, it is wrong, and it's of the devil. Everybody doing okay? Now, God does not tell us how to feel in the Bible. Let me make that statement again. God does not tell us how to feel in the Bible. He does tell us that the truth is more important than our feelings. He said, you are to walk in truth. He didn't say how to feel while you walked in truth. He didn't say to be all warm and squishy. Did you know sometimes warm and squishy is not a good thing?
Amen.
You're teaching a kid to use the washroom, warm and squishy is not good.
True.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're training a new puppy, warm and squishy is not always good. You step in that at 2 o'clock in the morning. Uh-huh. Say why? Because our feelings are tainted by sin. Truth is not tainted by sin.
Amen.
Did you know truth is not affected by sin?
Right.
Did you know that 2 + 2 = 4 no matter how you feel?
Right.
It's a fact. Did you know that truth is more important than our feelings? So feelings have nothing to do with spirituality.
Right.
Oh, I just feel so spiritual. Well, I don't care how you feel. I know a lot of people that feel a lot of things. Guess what? It's probably not spirituality. Well, I just got so many goosebumps. It must be the Holy Spirit. I find nowhere in the Bible where the Holy Spirit is linked to goosebumps and to feelings. I hate to disappoint you. I can give you goosebumps, but you might not like how you got them. Can I tell you something? God never one time in Scripture tells us how to feel. He is not as concerned about your feelings as He is your obedience to truth. Did you know that the more you obey truth, the less you worry about your feelings and the less sinful your feelings will be? Had Adam and Eve obeyed, their feelings wouldn't have got wonky. They let their feeling make the decision, and look where we're at today. Now, I must hurry. Feelings have nothing to do with spirituality. You become spiritual by obedience, not by feeling spiritual. Well, I went to church and I had goosebumps, and I felt this way, and I felt, well, I'm glad you felt that way, but it didn't mean that it was spiritual. Number three, and I'll finish with this point, but don't put your shoes on yet. Number three, God tells us to unite our heart, our feelings, with truth, so we can fear Him and not fear our own heart or feelings. Turn to Psalm 86 again. How many times I've heard people say, preacher, I don't even really know how to feel about this. My feelings just have me all messed up. Psalm 86. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Now watch this for a moment. The word unite there means to join, to become one. It literally is the word to marry. When two become one, that's marriage. Now watch this. Did you know that you are to marry your feelings and your emotions to truth? You say, well, preacher, does that mean we're never supposed to feel anything? I never said that. I feel very deeply. But I don't let my feelings control my thinking. Too many people, because they feel something, they let it control their thinking. I let truth control my thinking. Boy, that's a good statement. God wants us to join or to marry our feelings and our emotions to truth. That means this. I will fear no evil. Fear is an emotion. Did you know you don't have to fear evil?
Right.
If you'll walk in God's truth.
Amen.
And you'll obey his truth. You don't have to fear evil. Now, I didn't say it wasn't going to bring pressure. But you don't have to fear evil. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Amen.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, wow. Psalm 23. Brother Mike's class got that this morning instead of next week. Sorry, I got to rib him while I can. Can I tell you something? Too many of us live by fear. We let the emotion overwhelm us and we don't obey the truth. We get depressed and we don't do what we're supposed to do and allow the feelings and the emotions to override us to where we don't obey the truth. If we would just obey the truth, the feelings and the emotions are to get married to the truth. Now listen to this statement. This may be the most important thing I say all night. God wants us to base our feelings off truth. He does not want us basing truth off our feelings. God wants us to base our feelings off of truth, not truth off of our feelings. Well, I just don't see it that way, preacher. Don't care how you see it. That's how God said it. His ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. They're not my thoughts. But I am to conform to his thoughts and to his ways, not how I feel. I don't always feel like doing what I'm supposed to do. That's why I'm a sinner, just so you know. Folks, everybody look at me for a second. Do you think I like being kind to people that hate my guts and are unkind to me? I don't like it any more than you do. You think I like getting cussed out? Oh, I've had it many a times. I've learned many a words. Believe me, I find out there's words I didn't even know what they were. You think I enjoy being somewhere in public and somebody that hates me gets rude, unkind? I've had people try to run me over. I've had people try to burn my house down. I've had people write nasty things all over my vehicles. You think I actually enjoy that? Do you think my automatic response is, oh, bless the Lord, God help them. Come out at 4:30 in the morning and find all kinds of four-letter words written all over your truck once. Now, the good thing is my enemies aren't real smart. They don't know any words bigger than four letters. That is the only good part. But may I say this, I don't enjoy it any more than anybody else. Anybody doing all right? That's why when you ladies come to my house, don't give my address out to anybody. I moved on purpose, all right? My enemies don't know where I live right now. I'd like to keep it that way. God help those folks that bought my old house. No. I'm teasing. Kinda. God wants us to base our feelings from truth. He doesn't want us changing the truth to match our feelings. Too many of you want God to bring truth down to how you feel instead of you going to where truth is. Quit judging God's truth by your feelings and your emotions. Truth is not sinful. Folks, one of the most idiotic statements that has ever been said by a human man is this: just follow your heart. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it?
That's right.
Folks, if I've always followed my heart, I'd be in a lot more trouble than I already am. God wants you to unite your heart with truth. And when your heart doesn't like what the truth says, you follow what truth is no matter what your heart says.
Amen.
That's how simple it is.
Right.
I'm not trying to be complicated. But listen to this statement. Well, I just don't understand why God did that. Oh, you're wanting God to match his truth to your feelings. I don't think it's fair for God to do that. You're asking God to match truth to how you see things instead of you changing what you see to what he sees. Quit trying to, I've used that statement before too, quit trying to play God. You're not God. His ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. Well, if I, you're not God. Don't worry about it. And we're glad. And you better really be glad I'm not God. No amens right there. God wants, by the way, thank God Nancy Pelosi isn't either, even though she thinks she is. God wants you to unite your heart with truth. And let truth rule when your heart disagrees. Mind if I use you for an illustration? My oldest had a time of rebellion. He got expelled from Bible college. Lived pretty rough. I had to kick him out of my own house for a while. Do you think that was easy on his mother and I? It was the hardest thing I ever did. But I also remember the day when he said, "Dad, I think I'm done running." I was in a tree stand. I was in a climber stand. I was coming down the tree with the phone in one ear, dropped the bow out of the tree, down the string it went, and I couldn't get out of the tree fast enough. I said, "Where can I meet you and who do you want to talk to?" "Let's get you help." Do you know that my feelings were, "I want to help you no matter what." But the truth was, I had to separate him to where he couldn't hurt anybody else in the house. Now, he wasn't 10 years old. He was an adult. I had to do what the truth said, even though the heart said, "You don't want to do that." My heart did not want to do it. My heart wanted to let him back right away. But the truth said, "You need months to prove yourself." I said, "You need to live with somebody else for 6 months and prove you mean business with God." I found him a place cheap to live with somebody who'd kind of mentor him a little bit. And for 6 months, he worked his tail off. Got himself back in church. Got himself right. By the way, went back to his Bible college and talked to Brother Fugit and Dr. Jorgensen and other administrators and said, "Would you give me another chance? Don't deserve it, but if you give me another chance." I think there were four administrators and or three. One of them said no and the others said yes. I called the one that said no. And I said, I want you to know, I appreciate you saying no. I said, he needs to know it's not as easy as just saying I'm sorry and come back. A couple years later, he graduated from Bible college. I remember graduation night. He walked across here and we were hooping and hollering. He shook Brother Fugit's hand, got his degree. He walked across the platform. And the very one that said no, I don't think he ought to be back. Big old bear hug on the platform. After the service, I saw that man and I said, he did it. He said, yes, he did. He proved me wrong and I'm glad. And I looked at him in the face. I said, I thank God your vote was no. It made him the man he is today. Now, wait a minute. My heart wanted to punch the guy in the nose. Just so you know. That was not my initial reaction. But I thank God for it. Truth was more important than my feelings.
Right.
Are we doing okay?
Right.
By the way, thank God for grace. God wants us to base our feelings off of truth. He does not want us basing truth off our feelings. Well, I don't see it that way. Preacher, don't care. That's what God said. When it comes between God and man, what God has to say is far more important than what we think or what we see.
Right.
I'm going to make a statement here. It's our job to unite, not God's.
Right.
It is our job to submit, not God's. He said that I will unite my heart to fear thy name. He gave us the truth. He did his part. Our part is uniting our emotions, our opinions, our feelings with truth. God gave us the truth. By the way, that's what marriage is. I do not have time to go there, but if you read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 20 through 33, that's exactly what that chapter is talking about. In a marriage, if we'll put our feelings aside and base it on truth, you'll have less troubles in your marriage. You'll have less trouble rearing your kids if truth is the issue and not how you feel or how they feel. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
Strength and leadership is not to give in to emotion.
Amen.
It is to hold the line of truth, not give in to emotion. Did you hear what I said? Did you know that God doesn't give in just because you whine and cry? Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils? Have we not done these wonderful things in thy name? Depart from me, accursed, into everlasting darkness, prepared for the devil and his angels. I never knew you. There's going to be a lot of false preachers one day, burning in hell, standing before God at the great white throne judgment, saying, but I did good things, and he, but you did not get saved. And if you did not get saved, it doesn't matter how much you cry or beg or plea, you're going to end up in hell forever. God will not give in to the emotion of the situation. Because he lives by truth, not emotion. Parents, don't give in to the emotions of your children. They know if they whine long enough, loud enough, hard enough, you'll give in and give them what they want. No, don't do it. You have to follow truth. It's not that their feelings don't matter, but guess what? Their feelings need to align with truth, not how their heart tells them to feel. Good night. I've been involved in Christian education for about 20 years of my ministry. I've heard every excuse, every tear. I've caught everything you can imagine. I got labeled a hard nose. No, I was trying to teach people truth is the issue, not feelings. I wasn't hard to it. I felt things, but the truth was the truth. Plain and simple. My kids got tired of hearing this. I don't care what your last name is. Same punishment, doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter if you're the preacher's kids, my kids, or some bum off the streets' kids. Guess what? Truth is truth. Boy, that's a good statement. Don't give in to the lost people at work. Don't give in to your family that's trying to get you to do wrong things. Well, you don't need to go to church at Christmas. It's Christmas. What do you think it's all about? Y'all know what I'm talking about? You see where I'm headed with this? Careful at going to the company Christmas party. I'm not saying don't go, but if it starts turning wicked and evil, just excuse yourself and leave. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. I got to quit. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I'll walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Our job is to take our feelings, our emotions, our opinions, and yield them to truth. Can I tell you something? We don't have to give our opinion about everything. If your opinion is not asked for, generally it's best not to give it. Well, I happen to know. Well, that's your pride. There's a lot of things I know, and because people don't ask me for it, I don't offer it. So you'd let them hurt. You'd let them do this. Yep, I'll ask them if I can give an opinion. If they don't want it, we'll pick up the pieces later. You know that famous statement when your dad says, I don't think y'all do that. You know, eventually you learn why they say, don't think y'all do that. I've given the illustration once before. I'll give it and I'm done. My brother is very mechanically inclined. I am very mechanically declined. That is the understatement of the century. I can take anything apart. Then it's 1-800 Mel Bush. Help! Put it together. My brother was probably 12, 11. You know those old lawnmower engines that had the crank on it and you would had a spring on it that you'd tighten up. It had a little magneto thing, and then you hit that thing and it'd roar up. It didn't have a string that you pulled. It had a spring in there and you'd crank it up and it'd get so tight and then you'd hit the button and it would spin that thing. My brother tore one of those apart and rebuilt it. Well, he had it sitting on a 4x4 or a couple 2x4s or whatever and had it sitting on 2 5-gallon buckets out in the front yard. Well, last thing my dad said was, don't mess around with that engine. Well, I wasn't going to mess around with the engine. I just wanted to go to click, 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 click. That was fun. Well, you can only go so many times and the spring gets so tight you can't do it anymore. So you push the button and release the spring. But what I didn't know is they got that thing running. Man, I hit that button, and that sucker roared to life. Uh-oh. You know, the whole neighborhood can hear this thing running. My mom and dad and brother are in the house. We got trouble in River City real quick. Well, I wasn't real smart, but I'd watched them, something running, they'd grab a screwdriver and pop that plug wire off. Guess what? There was no screwdriver. I didn't have time to go look for one. I grabbed a hold of that plug wire. It grabbed back. I don't know how long it took me to get that thing off there. But it exhausted it and me at the same time. Let me. I'm laying on the ground going. And the only thing I know is my dad had come. The door, front door popped open. He hops over the rail. And he looks down at me and he said, son, I ought to beat you, but you took a worse beating than I could give you. And started laughing at me and walked away. He didn't care how I felt. He knew how I felt. Can I tell you something? I didn't care how I felt. I just knew this. We ain't doing that ever again. You wonder why I hate electricity. I don't even touch wire on the spool at Home Depot. I hate electricity. To this day, you want to pull the plug wire? Go for it. I ain't touching the stupid thing. You can hit it with anything you want. It'll run out of gas before I touch it. Then I'm going to call him to pull it. I'm still not touching it. I hate that thing. You say, what was it? It didn't care how I felt. I remember going to work at a machine shop when I was in college, and my dad said, Craig, just remember one thing, those machines feel no pain. They'll cut you, they'll cut steel, they'll cut anything, and they'll feel the same no matter what. They don't care what they cut. Keep your hands out of it. Be careful. They have no feelings. Some of the best advice I've ever been given. Can I tell you something? God doesn't tell you how to feel. But he doesn't want your feelings to override truth. He wants you to unite your heart, your feelings, to truth. And if you'll unite your feelings to truth, what others have to say and how they make you feel isn't the big issue. Cyberbullying. That's you trying to bring feeling into truth. Somebody said something mean about me. Oh, God bless you. Come here, let me burp you too. You just don't understand. I know what God said to do. Turn the other cheek. I want to defend myself. Okay. Doesn't matter how you feel. What does God say do? Let's learn his ways. Let's do his ways. And let's unite our heart to truth instead of trying to unite truth to our heart.
Amen.
Boy, what a difference that'll make in your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. That one truth could revolutionize your life, I promise you. You'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed tonight. Would you raise your hands on my soul? Virtually every hand, you may put them down.